Good morning, my friends. Come on in. Let's find a seat. Please look for a hymn book, 457. We want to welcome you to our services this morning. And we're going to open up to 457 and sing "To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Hath Done." And so let's turn to this page. Let's ask God to help us this morning as we sing and get honed in and focused in upon the Lord. 457. Let's stand. Bill, would you come and lead us in this great hymn?
I will praise him. 2:12.
Three.
It is a personal choice to decide, I am going to praise Him. Personal. As we were singing verse 2, I could envision all of the men singing this. All the men singing. It's Father's Day. Fathers, men, boys. Though the way seems straight and narrow, all I claimed was swept away. My ambitions, plans, and wishes at my feet in ashes lay. One of the most beautiful losses is when a man gets saved and he decides, I'm going to live for God. It's not about my life. It's not about my plans. It's not about my ambitions. And you just decide, I'm going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ with all that I've got. And all that you wanted to do is just a heap. And you see Him. And we're not going to take the time to gather all the men up here, but I'd sure love to hear the men sing this song sometime. All of it. Would you ladies like to hear that sometime? Sometime soon? Sometime real soon? Let's ask God's blessing upon this morning. And dads, we're glad that you're here. Happy Father's Day. I want to try to encourage you today. Your life is so important. And let's ask God's blessing. Father, we want to thank you for this another day to be alive. Lord, you are the creator of life. We do not feel that we're tired of living. We do not feel that we live on our own. God, it is the life of God that we breathe. And we thank you for another day to live, another opportunity, Lord, to serve thee. Bless those that have gathered in thy house this day. Would you reach down and speak to our hearts and instruct us and comfort us and give us whatever we need. Lord, it never matters how large an audience is. It is always very diverse in the conditions of the heart, the needs of the heart. One person might be jubilant and happy, praising God. The other person might have a broken heart. They might wonder where God is in their life. And some folks have clear direction in their life. God's never been more clear to them, more real to them. They know they're on track for God. And Lord, others, the way seems obscure. And it seems like the fog has settled in and not sure which way to go. Lord, I'm so glad that I don't have to try to meet people's needs. I'm so glad that your word and your spirit can do your work. It is your work. Lord, we are your people. This is your church. And Father, we pray that Jesus Christ would be honored and glorified this day. We're so grateful that he came to this earth to bleed and die in our place, in his body on the tree. Thank you for the Savior that was our substitute. And we're so glad that you paid for all of our sin, rose the third day victoriously. We're so glad they didn't carry you out of that tomb and prop you up. We're so glad you just defied death and got back in that body and paraded through Hades and separated the two and took all those eternal sons to glory. We're so glad that we have a triumphant Savior, a glorious Lord, a bright future. We praise you that we're going to be with you throughout all of eternity. And Lord, today, help us to get a vision of what you want us to do today while we live. May the rest of our lives be consecrated to thee. And Lord, just work in our midst. We want to honor you this day. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Kevin's going to come and give us some announcements from the bulletin at this time.
Thank you, Pastor. Good morning, everyone. It is wonderful to be here today. Beautiful weather outside, and we are glad each and every one of you is here. Fathers, happy Father's Day. Glad you are here also. You'll see our message here this morning directed towards fathers, and so we're glad to have that. And then be back here tonight, all those sports fans that are looking for what team to choose, come back tonight. We need you here tonight. You'll be blessed by the message tonight, so make sure you're here in your place. And then also, Vacation Bible School, just around the corner, there are some forms that we had a meeting on Wednesday, and forms were passed out. If you have not turned that form in, or if you weren't a part of the meeting last Sunday, and are planning on being part of Vacation Bible School, there's a form. It's right back on the back table there. If you'd get that form and turn that in to Brother Daryl Carter. And Daryl, I apologize, my form's not to you yet. It'll be here very shortly, so talk to you in just a few minutes. Please turn those forms into him. There's quite a few forms out still that we need to get in just so we can have a tally of everything. So please make sure you get those to him. Orchestra practice tonight at 5:30. Tuesday prayer meeting at 10 a.m. Wednesday evening service. Make sure you're here for that. Be a great blessing. Great time always during the middle of the week. What an encouragement it is to just get away, separate from the world, get into the house of God with Christians and others there. It just it's what carries me through my week, and so make it a part of your week. Make sure you're here for that. Thursday morning prayer at 6 a.m. for the men there. If you can be a part of that, please make sure you're there. And then be in prayer. There's some flyers on the back table. Also for Vacation Bible School, please get some tape out. These are great to walk by your friend, slap them on the back, and have one a walking billboard. If you have a place at work somewhere that you can hang that up, I heard some fellows talking about, the convenience stores are such a great place to hang those up. But get the word out there that we're having Vacation Bible School, and let's just saturate the area with these flyers, and so that no one can say, I didn't know you were having a Vacation Bible School and they missed it. We want everyone to come out and be a part of it. Invite friends, family, all those things out, and be in prayer for that if you would. 55 Plus Fellowship on Tuesday, June 17th, and there's a sign-up sheet also for that. And then it was a great pleasure to be part of the graduating class of the HHI, was it? HHI. So it was a great blessing to be here yesterday, and Millie and Wesley graduating from high school, and what a blessing from homeschool. It was just a great pleasure. The Medells, as a parent of a homeschooler family, it was a great encouragement. So I thank each and every one of you for encouraging me, because we do. Pastor talked about it. Sometimes you wonder, is it the right thing? Are we doing the right thing? And it could be a lot easier. There's always that, and thank goodness. And so it was a great encouragement. And so we're having the final one here. I don't want to say final one, we're excited for Sarah Langrebe graduating here on Saturday, June 28th. This will be at their house in Holland, and that is going to be starting at 12 o'clock sharp. There's going to be a brief service. And then there will be a recital there. So if you want to be a part of this, please be on time. That will be at 12 o'clock, and we are excited for that, and just to see these young people. And it would just is an encouragement. So be a part of that and encourage Sarah as she graduates here. And then birthdays and anniversaries. Bill and Shelley are having an anniversary today, so we just want to encourage them and wish them a happy anniversary. How many years is that? 23. He was ready for me. And what a blessing. He's a blessing. And Ryan Ruppel having a birthday. Send him an encouragement email, possibly. Drew Carter is having a birthday on Wednesday. And is this the first Carter birthday? Or did I miss one? Is it the second one? Okay, great. We're just thrilled to have the Carters a part of the church, and so make sure you wish him a happy birthday. And then Samantha Jeffcoat is having a birthday also this week here. And Michaela is having a birthday. She is five, turning five. And so we are excited to have her a part of the church. Thursday, make sure you wish her a happy birthday. I'm sure she is already counting the days, right? Brother Jake's like, yep, she knows it's coming. So Bible reading schedule there. Please continue on as we will be finishing 1 Samuel and right into 2 Samuel. So be a part of that. And then the missionaries of the week are the Stover family. And if you would send them an encouraging email, that would be a great blessing. And we'll continue on here. Pastor, if you want to continue.
And right there in the middle, Kevin and Amy Sackett having an anniversary on Tuesday. That's weird how you miss certain things. And how many years, bro? Huh, how many years?
Is that this year?
Happy anniversary. You know, this is not just for you to remember others. This is just great reminders for our own selves, and so, amen. I want to give you a couple of reminders and announcements, and then Jake is going to come and give us an update on a couple of our missionaries, and we'll have the offering. We do have something for the dads today, a gift, and so we'll give that to you by the time the service is over. Kathy, where is Kathy? Kathy, it is a joy to see you. Say hi to Kathy, and good to have her up from Illinois. Keep praying for Brother Roger, and what a delight to have you here. And Brittany is moved up here. She is here, and we praise God for that, and we're looking for a job for her, and so pray about that. Mike is in Iowa and out on a wedding, and I'm sure he's a little pumped up about attending a wedding since they're going to be married in October, and so he'll be returning, and then he'll be back on Wednesday, but pray for them. Parents and children, I want you to help me on something during the service. Let's try not to get up and use the bathroom, okay? And let's try to take care of things before all of that. And when it's time for the message, I think for the whole service, but when it's time for God's Word, let's try to keep our place, okay? That's what we want to maintain. And it doesn't bother me a whole lot, but I see everybody else just kind of like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It bothers everybody else, you know? So help me with that, and that'll be good. Don't forget to fill out your VBS volunteer form. That will determine your pay, your bonuses, all the freebies. That is important. If we do decide to get T-shirts, yours may not fit. So, you know, please, that'll be good. I'm considering a Father's Day gift, an extra Father's Day gift for the evening service, men. How many of you men think that would kind of be a cool idea? You wouldn't mind getting something tonight? Okay, I saw four guys. I saw your hands. Awesome. That's going to make it very simple for me. And it's going to be better, too. All right, very good. Jake, come and give us some updates on our missionaries.
Good morning. All right, happy Father's Day to the fathers. Got two this morning. First one's just kind of a supplement to last week's from the Ruples. They just had a couple additions here. This is 1st of January. God gave our family the financial responsibility of a radio broadcast that airs 6 days a week in the southeast corner of Cambodia. This radio program is reaching into Vietnam, where many people speak Khmer, the Cambodian language. Our goal is to raise the necessary funds for this radio ministry, and it's $250 a month from churches here in Cambodia. Many expressed interest, but few have responded to the opportunity. About 20% of the necessary funds are coming from Cambodian believers at this time. However, it is still our goal for the ministry to be coming from churches who benefit directly from this radio service. So I am especially praying for them to get involved. Without your help last year, there is no way the radio ministry could have continued. Because of your faithful support, your renewed support, and your increases in support, God supplied most of the necessary funds through the regular support of our churches. Thank you so much. Please continue to pray for more Cambodian churches to see their obligation and opportunity to invest in God's work here and abroad. That was from the Ruples. There's a little more on here. I'm going to put these in the back so that you can read through them. But some of them are a little bit long, so it would take quite a while. The second here is just an update from the Townsley family, Riverside Baptist Church in Terryville, Connecticut. I'm just going to go ahead and read through this here because it's not real long. It says, three believers followed the Lord into baptism in April. Claire has a hunger and thirst for spiritual growth, but this step was not without spiritual opposition. Her family did not understand why someone sprinkled as an infant would want to be baptized as an adult. While it was a disappointment that her family would not support her, Claire knew it was more important to please God. Claire's unsaved friend, Sheila, did the same. Please pray for her salvation. Lily and her parents invited about six families who came to the baptismal service. Lily had been saved and wanted to be baptized. The many visiting families stayed for the reception after church, giving the church members plenty of time to talk to them. To make baptism special and to get to know the visitors who often come to baptisms, we have a reception with food, a special cake, and baptism certificates. Pray for these families to visit again. My daughter, Esther, was also baptized. It was a great blessing to me to realize that she was also my sister in Christ. Thank you for praying for Annette's medical problems. She has seen a lot of improvement and has been able to begin playing the piano again. And then they have a short prayer list here. It says, pray for spiritual growth and numerical growth in the church. Pray for the healing of Annette. She was the one with the Lyme disease that was going through some things. Pray for her to continue to recover. Pray for discernment and strength in fighting spiritual battles. Upcoming summer events. And pray that people will grow in their service for the Lord. Also pray for the many people facing medical needs within the church. In Christ, Pastor David Townsley. So, again, I'll put these in back so you can read them as well if you'd like. Pastor.
Thank you. Ushers, would you come, please? The Townsleys, we are not currently supporting anymore financially, but we want to keep in contact with them. We want to pray for them. Their church is independent now financially, so that's good. And then pray for the churches in Cambodia. I think often a national church that has an American pastor, I think it's easy for them to say, America can send us the money. America will take care of this, because God's people in America are generous, very generous. I mean, one person could easily, a businessman could easily pay $250 a month and fund a radio station in Vietnam. I mean, what an opportunity. What an amazing opportunity. But I think sometimes they wait on generous Americans. So pray that God will stir their hearts to do their part in their own church in that area. So, Brother Jake, I'm going to have you come and pray and ask God's blessing upon this offering and upon these missionaries at this time. Let's pray together.
Let's bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this sunshine. Thank you for this chance to gather together in your house, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to praise you. Thank you for the fathers that are here today. Lord, may we remember the ultimate Father, Christ, on this day, Father's Day. Lord, I pray that you use these tithes and offerings, Lord, to better the service for you. Lord, we pray these things in your name. Amen.
When I am tried, I shall come forth as gold. What a great song. Wesley and Millie, would you come and be prepared to sing before the message this morning? I invite you to turn to Proverbs chapter 4. And I want to encourage you to maybe use the back of the bulletin to jot down a few points as we talk about fathers this morning. So Proverbs chapter 4, find your place, and we'll go there in just a moment. Junior church, you can be dismissed at this time. So kids, you can go. Take your Bibles. Please take your good behavior and bless these workers as they continue to give God's word to these young hearts. We're going to read chapter 4, 1 through 13 in just a moment so you can be prepared to know where you're going. The kids are going to sing, "I Have a Goodly Heritage," and this was supposed to have been done yesterday, but things got a little bit long yesterday, so we chopped this one out. So they're going to try this song for us this morning. God's word, please. Proverbs chapter 4. I'd like to read 1 through 13, but I'd first like to give you a summarizing statement of these verses and then read them again. These verses say that if a father will give his children good instructions, which is basically a repetition of God's word that has been given to him. If a dad will give his children good instructions, and those children hold those same good instructions, those good instructions from God's word will produce in that child's life God's preservation, God's promotion, in God's protection. Let's read these great words that Solomon wrote to his boys, to his boy. "Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to know understanding." Now, let me back up and get you involved. I would like to read all of the odd verses, and I would like you to read all of the even verses. So you're going to read together 2, 4, 6, 8. Who do we appreciate? All that. You're doing the even. I will do the odds. So I'll read 1 again, and then you all read the even ones. And then when we arrive at verse 13, we will do it together. Verse 1, Proverbs 4. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom, I have led thee in right paths. All together, please. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Let's pray. Father, please bless thy wonderful, holy word to our hearts today. I thank you for each father who is here and who faithfully follows thy word. Would you just encourage us today to keep giving the good instructions that we get from God, from his word, and what it can produce in the lives of our children. In Christ's name, amen. So to summarize these verses, a father's good instructions held tightly by his children will experience God's preservation, God's promotion, and God's protection. And so the first thing that we come to is a father's instruction. A father's instruction, number one, is to be heard. Okay? A father's instruction is to be heard. The Word of God says, hear. Hear. If a child does not hear the instruction of a father, nothing good can begin. And so, a father's instruction has to be heard, which means it has to be given as well. Proverbs 1:8, in the very beginning of this wisdom book, it says the same thing back in chapter 1 and verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. So a father's instruction needs to be heard. As my children were singing that song, I was thinking about your children. I was thinking about the wonderfully blessed children in this church who have a Christian mom, a Christian dad, who are in church today. And I thought anybody's kids that are here today could sing that same thing. And kids, children, look this way. I don't care if you're over 18, if you're grown, if you're an adult, if you're still at home. Every child, every kid that you know does not have the privilege of a Christian daddy teaching them what is right. I'm not going to blow you away with all of these statistics, but if you lined up 100 children in America, if you went to the average school in America and lined up 100 kids, you could take 27 of those kids and put them over here, and 27 kids out of 100 in America don't have a dad in the home. That's huge. It's doubled since 1960. Nearly a third. 27 out of 100 kids that ride the school bus go home and there's no dad in that home. That they never hear a father tell them, "Son, we're not going to live that way. Honey, I want you to do the right thing. I want you to listen to. I want you to listen to your mother. I want you to listen to your father." How important is a daddy in the home? How can we measure the importance of a father in the home? You know that you can read statistics all day long about how terrible it is when dad's not in the home. They're prone to immorality at a very early age. They're prone to drug abuse, alcohol, criminality. All the way down the line, because a dad is so important in the home. It was God's plan, a father and a mother, and then they have children. And so if you take something out that God said is vital, there's going to be a lot of consequences. And so it is very important. It is very important. Kids, you are so blessed. You are so blessed to have dad in your home. You are so blessed to have a father. As I read that, as I'm thinking about this, I was instantly grateful and praising God that I grew up with a dad in my home. When dad and mom brought me home from the hospital, dad was there, mom was there, and dad stayed there, and he didn't leave the home. I left the home when it was time to go home, time to graduate, time to leave, time to move on with life. And I'm so grateful. I am so grateful that dad stayed in the home, that he stayed with my mother, that he stayed with God. What a wonderful blessing to have a father who can give God's instructions and fall upon a child's ears. We have missionaries in England, and in the United Kingdom there are a million children. There are a million children in England that just don't have a dad. No dad in the home, and they hardly ever experience a male figure at school. And it has a dramatic effect on their lives. Great, great deficiencies. And so I'm grateful, and I want to remind you, children, that you are not cursed to have a father in the home that tells you, get out of bed, do right, take out the trash, we're going to church, where's your homework? You are not cursed. You are blessed. You are blessed. And when you get tired of your daddy, and you get tired of hearing what he has to say, I guarantee you there are millions of kids in America who would take your dad in a heartbeat. They take your daddy in a heartbeat. So if you're sick of your dad, you need revival in your heart, you don't know what you're blessed with, we got a little sign hanging up in the men's restroom that says you can hardly see what is in front of your face. And then I've got the verse down there that says, why can we see everybody else's small specks in their eye and you can't see the big, nasty deficiencies in your own? We can hardly see what is in front of us. And kids, if there's a child here today or two that despises having a father, oh, you are so blessed. You are so blessed. You are so blessed. My mother, her daddy was a doctor. And her daddy decided he didn't want to live with them anymore. And he divorced my mom's mom. My mom lived in a small town. And he left my grandma and... maybe my mother was 10, 12 years old, and my grandpa practiced medicine in a very small town of 1,500 people, and he forsook my mother and moved out of that home, and everybody knew about it in that small town. And my mom did not have the privilege of growing up with a father who loved her and says, honey, I want you to do right. If you kids have a dad that is always on your case to do right, you got to write him a note today and thank him if your heart's not right. Even if your heart is right, you got to thank your dad. Thank you for staying with my mom. Thank you for being in this home. Because you are so blessed that your ears are open and that you are hearing every day of your life a daddy's instruction. Oh, how blessed you are. The father's instruction is to be heard. And so this is a dad's instructions here, okay? A father's instruction. A dad's instruction. A dad's instruction. Fathers are the original D-I's. Dad's instructions. Dads are the original D-I's. A dad instructor. That's exactly what we are. The word instruct carries with that meaning. Fellas, there's going to be times when we're going to have to... The word means chastisement, reproof, warning, restraint. There's times we've got to check them. We got to check them and stop them. Correction, discipline. Fathers, a lot of our work, a lot of our instruction is of the corrective nature. Do not be weary in doing that, because that is what our children need. It is a responsibility that we need to do. A father's instruction has to be a heard. The Word of God says that reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Okay? It's a part of life. Instruction with reproof is a part of life, and it is a path to life. You're never going to get away from it. You're going to go to college, there's going to be people instructing you. You're going to get on your job, people are going to be instructing you. And so we need to instruct our children, and don't be afraid to correct. Okay? Dads, don't be afraid to correct. Don't be afraid to correct or instruct. You're the provider, but you're the instructor. Don't delegate everything to mother. Fathers, instruct your children, and they'll be blessed. They'll be blessed for it. So don't be afraid to instruct, but don't be antagonistic when you do instruct. Now, the Word of God says in Ephesians 6:4, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. How many of you dads know what I'm talking about? Instruct them, but do not provoke them. It is possible for me to tell my children to do the right thing, but I've got the wrong spirit about it, and I'm trying to create corrective behavior in them. And if I don't watch my spirit, if I don't watch my attitude, if I don't watch how I talk, I can say the right thing in the wrong way, and I can say the right thing to my kids, and I'm going to come up with the wrong result. I'm learning in life more all the time, and I'm trying to ask God to help me. There is the way that we say things, and then there is what we say. And the way that we say things is absolutely as important as what we say. We all can say the right thing in the wrong way. I heard just the other day on Christian radio, I was driving, and they were talking about when people get into heated arguments, and their debate, whether it's, I think they were talking about marriage, but it could be on the job, it could be with friends. When you engage in an argument and your heart rate goes above 100, you stop hearing and you are physically incapable of hearing the other person's opinion. When you see people exchanging words and they're both heated, nothing ever good comes from that. You just cannot hear. And it's possible. It is possible for a father to anger his children as he instructs them in the right way. So we got to be careful. We got to be careful. Instruct them, but do not provoke them. How we say is as important as what we say. So kids, hear the instruction of a father. And then kids, the Bible says in verse 1, attend. Attend to know understanding. Attend is that word attention. Pay attention. Everybody's ears perks up to something in life. And kids, you're supposed to hear the instruction of daddy. And when dad gives instructions, the child, if they're wise, is to try to soak up as much about what dad has learned from God's Word and what dad has learned from life. And they're supposed to try to not get rid of so much of it, but they're going to try to get as much of it as they can. Give attention to as much as possible that your dad is saying. So a father's instruction has to be heard. Dad's instruction. Two, a father's instruction is to be good. The Bible says, I give you good doctrine, verse 2. Solomon tells his boy, son, I am telling you really good stuff. I'm not telling you things that will wreck your life and hurt you and harm you and make you miserable. I'm telling you good doctrine. A father's instruction is to be good. So, dad's instruction, verse 1. This is dad's doctrine. Dad's doctrine. I give you, a father, I give you good doctrine. You've heard of the Monroe Doctrine? This is dad's doctrine. Dads get from God what they need to give to their children. The Monroe Doctrine. Wasn't there the Truman Doctrine as well? And then there's dad's doctrine. And so a father's instruction is to be not just instruction, it is to be good instruction. Good instruction. Did anybody have a barbecue pork sandwich yesterday? Oh, that was what I was there. It was good. I told Jennifer, she went to Scott's Meats, and she got their pork, and she put some Sweet Baby Ray's on that, and I had a little bit of it early Friday, and I says, Jennifer, this is the best stuff we've ever had, and I would say that would be good. I don't know if you like coleslaw with peas, but if you like coleslaw, did anybody get coleslaw that's good? Did anybody get any cake? I mean, did you get the very soft and super moist white cake with gobs and gobs of very sweet and smooth white frosting that melted in your mouth and made you crave yet another piece, that cake? That cake was awesome. It was unbelievable. Did anybody get any brownies? I was sitting by Benjamin, and he was having a wonderful piece of cake, and I think a brownie. And then I moved over, and he had changed places, and he was sitting by Brother Craig McKinley, and he had a brownie stacked up on top of a piece of white cake, and he was going at it again. It was good the first time. It was good the second time. Anybody have any of that cheese dip with the bacon in it? That was good. Food can be very good, all right? I did not have to tell Walter. Walter, there's good food out there. I want you to eat that. Matter of fact, I did not have to go to the table and say, now, would you folks just please eat, please? There's a lot of good food up there, but nobody's getting the good food. Matter of fact, I didn't have to tell anybody. Good food everywhere. We're just enjoying the food. There is such a thing in life as good instruction. Good instruction that dads get from God's Word. And children do need to be told, hey, this is good. Don't miss it. The good things in life we need reminders of. How many of you know that so far about your flesh? We need to be told, this is good from God. Now make sure that you hear it, that you attend it, that you get it. So a father's instruction has to be heard, but it also is to be good. There is such a thing as good instruction. Now, the problem is that the devil has been telling people since day one that instruction is bad. The devil's been lying to people as long as he's been around, as long as people have been in contact with authority and parents and God's Word. And he tells people, don't let people tell you what to do. You know what? I love instruction now. I love instruction. And we've got to learn to hear instruction. A father's instruction is to be heard, and it is to be good. I give you good doctrine, and I'm wondering, what did Solomon give to his boy that was so good? Well, can I just review in about 60 seconds? Go back to chapter 1. Here are some of the good things that he told his boy and that we should be telling our children. In chapter 1, in verses 7 and 8, he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. He says it starts with God. And then verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. One of the very first things a father should tell their children is that wisdom begins with the Lord and continues with their father and with their mother. I remember telling the teens distinctly for a couple of weeks we studied these verses, if a child will hear the instruction, that if you will fear God, if you will obey your father, and if you will obey your mother, that is a threefold cord that will not be soon broken. Those simple instructions that begin the book of Proverbs, if a father will tell their children that, now they gotta fear God themselves. It's not stuff you just pass on and say, no, you do it, I'm not going to do it. If they will give them, those are the three best instructions I believe that any child can receive. Verse 10. He says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. A father's good instructions, these are some of the best instructions we can remind our children over and over, is that sinners will entice you. You might be in a safe haven right now, but there's going to be the day you're going to be in a car, you're going to be in the job, you're going to be in school somewhere, you're going to be in college, and sinners will press you. They will tempt you. They will try to get you away from everything that you've been taught your entire life. Sinners will tempt you, but sinners need to be told no. That's some of the best advice we can give our children. So those are some of the beginning things. Look at verse 20 through 23. He says, wisdom crieth without. It's in the streets. It's in the concourse. It's in the city. Verse 21. But he says in verse 23, you have to turn. You have to turn at that reproof. One of the greatest things we can teach our children, fathers, is that if they won't take reproof, they will never get wisdom. If a person will not be corrected, they cannot be instructed. And so reproofs are important. And so these are some of the things. One more thing in chapter 2. He says wisdom has to be sought, verses 1 through 4. He says, my son, if you've got to receive this, you've got to hide it with thee. Verse 2, you've got to incline your ear, apply your heart. Verse 3, you've got to cry after it. That's prayer. That's God, give me wisdom. Give me what my dad is telling me that I need. Verse 4, you've got to seek it for silver. I mean, just like you go on Craigslist and you seek an object. Just like you go on eBay and you seek. Just like you go to the store and seek. Just like you go to a garage sale. Garage sales do not come to your front porch. Wouldn't that be cool? You go to them. And one of the greatest things we can tell our kids is, if you want to be wise, if you want to get what God has for you, you must seek it yourself. Wisdom will never chase you children down and tackle you and force itself into your life. You must seek it yourself. And so Solomon was right when he says, man, I give you good doctrine. How do we know, dads, if our instructions are good? How can we make it good? Dad's doctrine must be God's doctrine. And when dad's doctrine is God's doctrine, dad's doctrine is good doctrine. And so a father's instruction must be heard. A father's instruction is to be good. Three, a father's instruction is to be repeated. Back in our chapter 4 of our text, Solomon says, I was my father's son. And then he says in verse 4, he taught me also and said unto me, let my heart retain my words. And Solomon is telling his boy, son, I want you to live for God. I want you to do the right things. And he said, the things that I'm telling you, my daddy told me. David told Solomon, live for God, follow God, get wisdom, get understanding. David grew up, he did, or Solomon grew up, and he did for a while, and then now he's instructing his son as well. And so a father's instruction is to be repeated. This is dad's duplication. It's a wonderful thing that I grew up in a Christian home, and dad instructed me, and he's given me God's word, and I'm trying to do the same thing in my home. If some of you fathers are first-generation Christians, if you will teach your boys and your girls the thing that is right, it'll be the delight of your soul to see your children grow up and serve God and watch your boy instructing his children one day, watching your girls instruct their girls one day. A father's instruction is to be repeated. God's instructions never change. The instructions that He gave me from God's Word, if it came from God's Word, I don't change the instructions. God's Word is so good it never needs to be revised. You know, there's always recalls on cars, no matter how many engineers worked on them. They don't get everything right. I heard just the other day, GM's recalling a car, and the Camaro. I was going to get a Camaro, and now I'm just going to have to hold off. If your leg can bump the ignition switch, and it shuts off the car, and it'll stall, and no brakes and no steering. I thought, I guess I'll just have to wait for a while. If you got one, it's probably not good for you. I'll take it off. I think I can drive okay with that. We don't have to change the instructions. Everything else in life, because it comes from man, has to be altered, has to be changed, has to be revised. But God's Word is so good that if you got it from your father and he got it from God, you just keep passing it on down. It's good to see God's Word duplicated from generation to generation. And again, man, if you're the first generation, keep it going so your kids will be the second. A father's instructions need to be heard. They need to be good. They need to be repeated. Number 4, they need to be held. They need to be held. Verse 5 says, get wisdom. Get it. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Verse 4 says, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. A father's instructions, kids, a father's instructions need to be held. You need to hear them and you need to hold them. And good instructions are no good if they're not held. A child can hear the greatest things from God, from his father, from his mother, but if they are only heard and they are never held, it is as good as never hearing it at all. So they've got to be held. They've got to be kept, not forsaken. They've got to be retained. Many, many kids hear the right things in life, but they don't hold it. And it's not the father's problem, it's the child's error. And so if it is a child's duty to keep, to hold. Samuel is the perfect example. And one of the men chose that verse on a Wednesday night when we were reading about 1 Samuel. And we read the verse where it says, Samuel did let none of his words fall to the ground. And Samuel, even as a young boy, when God spoke to him, he didn't let any of God's words slip out of his mind, out of his life, out of his decision making. He held onto God's word. Have you ever seen a hungry teenager, a hungry teenage boy, who maybe there's not 14 sloppy joes available to him, maybe there's one, and he eats it all, and some little pieces of burger are coming, falling down, and when he's done, you ever seen it? You ever seen a hungry boy get every last? You ever seen him eating the? Have you seen him eating all the crumbs off it? Have you ever seen a little boy lick the plate? I don't like it when my kids do it, but I like to see it when your kids do it. It's really great. Maybe there's pudding on there. And they're scraping it off, and then the spoon is round, and so it's leaving little furrows of pudding. And then, have you ever seen an adult lick a wrapper? If I'm in my car somewhere by myself, you know, you never know. That barbecue sauce that they put on some of those sandwiches are so wonderful. And Greg, you ever lick a wrapper like that? Absolutely. And so it means I don't want to let any of it go. And so kids are to be able to, they need to hold on to. Don't let any of Dad's words, if Dad's words are God's word, get every crumb, get all of it. And so a father's instructions, they need to be held. And this is not just for children, Christians. We need to go back to Samuel's example that he let none of God's word fall to the ground. That's a verse worthy of all of us looking it up and underlining it and writing it down and praying over that verse. We hear so much of God's word in America. We are bloated with God's word in America. We have so much opportunity of God's word in America. God, would you help me to not let your words fall to the ground? Help me to get the crumbs. Help me to get the last line of pudding. Now, let me get it all. And so when Dad's words are held, one of the greatest joys of a Christian father's life is when your children hold God's word. There's nothing like it. Proverbs 10:1 said, a wise son maketh a what? Glad father. A glad dad. Dad's delight. A father's instructions need to be held. If a child will hold onto God's instructions, number five, the father's instruction will yield. In verses 6 through 12, it makes all of these promises that, you know, if our children will not forsake it, she, wisdom, God's word, Dad's doctrine, it's all equivalent, shall preserve thee and keep thee. And so God's word that is heard and held will now yield in your child's life. Dad, if you will give your kids good doctrine, which is God's doctrine, and they will hold it, it's going to produce three great yields in their life. God's preservation, God's promotion, and God's protection, all in these verses here. Verse 6, it'll yield preservation. It'll preserve thee. It'll keep thee. Do our children need to be preserved and kept? Oh my. There's two kinds of preservation, basically. One of them is to keep the good in, and the other is to keep the bad out. Okay? The good, if you will give your children God's word, if they will hold it, it will preserve them, And the first thing it'll do is it'll keep all of the good that you have pumped in and the thing I've held, it'll keep the good in. And it'll keep all of the evil out. Both are important. It's like canning. Canning. I heard somebody talking about canning the other day. And I heard somebody talking about canning in the hallway this morning. And I think Christy said, I'm going to start canning. How many of you, ladies, men, can? You like to can. Can you can? Okay. We're not talking about canning kids. We're not cannibals. Is that where it comes from? They used to can people. Two kinds of preservation. You know, when you can, I don't know what you're going to can, beans, squash, whatever you're going to do. It's going to keep, you're going to put that in there, and it's going to be preserved, and you want it to come out just like it was when it went in, fresh. It keeps all that fuzzy stuff out. When our bread goes green, the kids call it army bread. We buy so much bread, we have drawers of bread. And sometimes one gets left in the back. You ever misplace your bread? And you pull it out and there's green on the hamburger bun? How many of you throw away the whole thing? You're done. You know you don't have to do that? You know, it's like free penicillin? You just pitch the thing off and you say, son, would you go get that there? And you just like pull it off and you like a hot dog? That's why our kids are so healthy. Go green. And so it keeps, when she starts canning, and Jake says, honey, I want some of those, those green beans that we grew. And it's the middle of winter time. You don't want fuzz on the beans. And so it'll preserve it. It'll keep the good in and the bad out. And one of the greatest joys is if the kids will hold on to God's Word, it'll preserve their life. It'll keep the good in and it'll keep the bad out. There's such a thing as jelly preserves, and then there's a forest preserve. I love to visit places that have been preserved in America where the bulldozers haven't come yet and where the condos haven't come yet. I love to see the mountains and the rivers and the streams and the giant forests that have not yet been taken over by builders. There's jelly preserves and forest preserves. And then there's the words of God that come from Dad to preserve a child's life. And your children and our children can be preserved by what a father's instructions will yield. And that's a great harvest. That's a dad's yield. A dad's yield. There's more to yield in life than a paycheck. There's more to yield in life than things. A father's yield, a dad that'll give doctrine that is God's, that has become his to his children, and they hear it and they hold it. That life will be preserved from all that is bad, and the good will stay in. And oh my goodness, the dad, the delight of a dad, the dad's yield. Fathers, may God bless the good words that you give in your children. I pray that they will hold it. And it'll preserve them. It's a promise from God. It yields preservation. Two more quickly. It yields promotion. It yields promotion. The Bible says in verse 8 and verse 9, it'll bring your children honor. It'll give them grace. And it'll bring them glory. Honor, grace, and glory. Honor is an old, wonderful principle and word that has nearly been erased from the American vocabulary. Honor. Honor. Doing the right thing when the right thing is being made fun of. The honorable thing. Not the profitable thing, not the fun thing, the honorable thing. We need a restoration of honor. And God's good word that becomes Dad's doctrine can infiltrate our children's heart. And if they will hold it, God's word brings honor unto that life and brings grace to that life. And it'll give them glory. It'll promote your children. You see, the world wants to promote our children. And some of it's okay, but I want God's promotion for my kids. God's doctrine, Dad's doctrine, God's promotion. And then finally it says it'll yield, it'll produce protection. Verse 12, when thou goest, my son, my daughter, when thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened, or they shall not be hindered. When you get in a strait, you're in a very difficult position or choice, and you do not know what to do. And you, I can't step there. I just don't know what to do. A difficult, tight spot. There's no room to walk that is clear. God's Word, if your children will hold it, if we will give it, it will yield them protection and their steps won't be hindered. Meaning, if they want to live for God, nothing can hinder them at all from living for God if they will hold your doctrine. You give them God's doctrine, it's yours, you give it to them, they hold it. And the right steps in their life cannot be hindered by anyone if they will hold to God's Word. And then if they run, they won't fail, they won't fall. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. They won't trip. Life sometimes gets busy and it gets in a hurry and you have to make decisions quickly. But a father that will give their children God's doctrine, dad's doctrine, it's all the same, and you give it to them, they hold it tightly. When life gets, and you need to make all kinds of decisions and they're busy, they can learn not only to be kept from evil and have all the good stay in, they can make decisions that are quick and right. Usually a hasty decision brings folly. But if God's Word is tightly held, it'll keep them from being hindered in obeying what is right, and it'll keep them from falling down and failing spiritually. And so a dad's instruction needs to be heard. It needs to be good. It needs to be held. Boy, oh boy, will it yield. You say, Pastor, how much will God's instruction yield? God's instructions will yield. I mean, everybody's life yields something different. You know, the Word of God says some's going to bring forth 30, some 60, some 90. God's Word is more productive in some people's lives because they allow it to be. How much will God's Word yield in my children's life? It depends on two things. The quality of your instruction and the quantity of their retention. The quality, fathers, the more pure, the more that your doctrine is not yours, the more that our doctrine is His, the more pure instruction that I can give these kids and the greater retention that they can hold, the greater the profitability, the greater the yield. So I will do my part to know God's Word so I can give them not just my advice in life. I want to give them God's advice, God's Word. The more pure the instruction and the greater retention that they hold to it, that'll determine what is produced in their life. Let's pray. Amy, would you come to the piano and be prepared to play something for us here in just a second? I want you to think about your children, think about your responsibility as a father. Let's just ask God to help us this morning. Father, I pray for every father that is in this room this day. God, would you bless them? Lord, would you guide them? Lord, we want to know Your Word. Lord, we want our children to hear Your Word from our lips. God, we want our lives to back up Your Word and what we're telling them. Help us, Lord Jesus, not to be afraid to instruct. Help us not to do the opposite and be antagonistic when we instruct. Lord, help our children to hold what they hear. And Lord, we praise You in advance that whatever they do hold will preserve them. It'll keep them from sin. It'll keep the good in. And Father, I just ask Your hand of blessing upon the fathers that are here of this day. And we're so glad that we have a perfect Heavenly Father who loves us and is patient with us and who gives us only good doctrine. And Father, I pray You just use Solomon's advice in our hearts of this day in Christ's name. Amen. Would you stand to your feet, please? I'd like as Amy plays, I'd like all the fathers that are present just to head down this way, and we got a gift for you. I want to have a closing prayer with you. Philip, would you come over here? And Bill, would you come over here and just put these gifts down here on the table for the fellas? Guys, I want you to head this way, and I want you to get a gift, and I want you to stay down here for a closing prayer, okay? So, fathers, head this way. Come down here. Amy, play something for us, please. Guys, come and get one first. Just come and get a gift. Come and grab one. guys like sports. Chandar. I don't know if he does, but he just... I didn't throw you a curveball. That's a curve cashew ball. This is fun, man. We need to start something new. Brother Roger, heads up. Levi, you got one? Where's all the teenage boys? Get on the floor quick. Mop it up. All you fathers got one. Come up here, guys. Come up here, fellas. A little bit closer. Come up here closer. Come on. Keep playing, Amy. I like music. All the dads here. Fathers, you did a great job living for God, teaching your kids. Keep it up. Your role is so critical in their lives. It's so wonderful. Don't lose heart on giving them God's doctrine. Keep it up. How many of you men have grandchildren already? Guess your head. But you got a new set of children, man. Keep it going. Keep it going. Teach them. Yeah. Keep up the good work, fellas. Keep up the good work. Your children are so blessed. Your children are so blessed to have you. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for these dads. Some of these fathers, Lord, their time is done. They've raised their children. Now they've got grandkids. Would you help them to still give grandpa's doctrine and make grandpa's doctrine be God's doctrine? Help those of us, Lord, with children at home still. Lord God, help us not to lose heart. Help us just to keep giving your word to these precious kids you've given to us. And Lord, for our kids, Lord God, would you help them to have ears to hear and to attend? Would they grab a hold? Would they grab a hold of your word tightly? Preserve our children in accordance with their grip on God's word. Help us all, Lord God, not to let your word fall to the ground. Thank you for what your word yields in our lives. And we'll thank you so much for it. In Christ's name, amen. Happy Father's Day. And if any of you men are extra hungry, you can get what's left there. Levi, you can have that other extra bag that is there. God bless you. We're dismissed, guys.